We're going to use the red book tonight, hymn 37. 37. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, beginning with verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Jesus, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, what do you think of the Christ? I wonder if you know that marvelous little book entitled A Hole is to Dig. It was written by an elementary school teacher, at least it was compiled by an elementary school teacher from things said by the children in her classes, and it contains definitions which are positively soul-stirring, such as, mashed potatoes are to get enough of. A floor is to have something to stand on. Buttons are to keep you warm. Or maybe you've seen that book, A Friend is Someone Who Likes You. Or I'm sure you've seen the great classic of all time, Charles Schulz's Happiness is a Warm Puppy. And you may remember some of those nice little things that he has to say in there. Happiness is a pile of leaves to jump in. Happiness is finding someone you like at the front door. Happiness is walking through the grass in your bare feet. Happiness is the hiccups after they've gone away. Now, it's really impossible to improve on statements like that because, as a matter of fact, of course, happiness does happen to be a warm puppy. That's simply true, and you know that it's true. And it's true not because it's consistent or because it's coherent or because it is the end product of a whole series of laborious research efforts or because it's the conclusion drawn from a self-evident premise. It's true because it's a little slice of the stuff of which real life is made. It's true because it's a snapshot of someone you know. It's true because it's a moment out of your own childhood. It's true because somehow or another it throbs with life, and without even trying, you can hear the heart beat. There's something strangely reminiscent of the gospel in those little statements. We hear echoes of the kinds of things that Jesus himself was fond of saying. For Jesus had a habit of avoiding abstract abstractions and of insisting on concrete kinds of things. He refused to get caught in worthless arguments about universals because he cared so very much about particulars. He would not allow the people with whom he spoke to hide behind generalities. He kept on coming back and back and back to them to say, come on now, let's be specific. I have a sister-in-law who used to revel in deflating people who trafficked in huge generalities by just at the right moment saying, name one. It's that kind of thing that we find Jesus doing in the 22nd chapter of Matthew. Repeatedly, Jesus' opponents want to argue generalities, and each time Jesus comes back at them with a specific. The first group, for instance, comes up to him. They butter him up by telling him how wonderful he is, and they ask him a question about the government and taxes, which is not a question at all, but a carefully designed trap, and they know it, but they don't know that he knows it. And so he says to them, look at the coin, whose image is on it, now what's your problem? While they're catching their breath, a second group comes charging up to Jesus, and they again butter him up and tell him what a great guy he is, and then again they ask him a question, which is no question at all, but a very elaborately contrived hypothetical situation about a woman who had seven husbands, and they want to know who will be her husband in heaven. And Jesus comes back to them and says, have you read your Bible lately? Jesus, God is the God not of the dead, but of the living. By this time, the first group has caught its breath, and they come charging again, and they ask him a question which was good for 3 or 4 hours in any rap session, which is the great commandment of the law? Which of the 613 precepts of the law is the greatest? And Jesus humors them at first by coming to them and saying, love to God and love to neighbor. They had read that in the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and they had seen those things put together. There was nothing new about that. But then Jesus comes to them and says, all right now, I'll ask you one. What do you think of the Christ? If you want to talk about love, let's be specific. What do you think of the Christ? In the Christian context, love is never abstract. Love is never in general. Love is never an idea. It is specific, concrete, actual. We sang, love came down at Christmas in Jesus Christ. Love is in human flesh. If you want to talk about love, then let's be specific. What do you think about Jesus Christ? Words sometimes lose their power. They flatten out. They stop glowing. They have the guts ripped out of them. They die. They no longer do what they ought to do. And love is a word like that. I don't know of anyone who has caught that quite as well as Eric Fromm, who is not a Christian, but he's right on target when he starts talking about love and saying that everybody thinks that they know what love is about. Everybody thinks that love is simply an inborn trait. Everybody knows how to love. The problem is to find a lovable object, to find something or someone sufficiently lovable to deserve my great love, Fromm says. That's the problem. The problem isn't to find a lovable object. The problem is to become a loving subject. And Fromm has enough insight into the human situation to know that that's an art. That's not something that's born in. That's an art to be learned and acquired. How does one learn the art of loving? How does one learn the art of becoming a loving subject? In the context of the Christian commitment, in the context of the Christian family, the Christian confession, the claim is that a man learns the art of becoming a loving subject through the discovery that he has been loved and is loved by God in Christ. Now, that sounds like a big balloon statement full of a lot of hot air, actually it's nothing if not specific. It says, when Quirinius was governor of Syria, it says he suffered under Pontius Pilate. The love of God in the flesh of Jesus Christ is not an idea or an ideal, but it is a specific, concrete, actual reality. And the discovery that one has been loved in such a way by God does empower, does enable a man to become a loving subject. It does, in fact, teach him the art of loving. As you read through the gospel narratives, you find extremely few generalities about love. But what you do find is a lot of specifics, such as love is a cup of water when you're thirsty. Love is a visit from a friend when you're sick. Love is a piece of bread and a piece of fish when you're hungry. Love is a conversation when you're lonely. Love is saying to a man whom everyone else despises, come along with me. Love is washing the dusty feet of a friend. Love is allowing oneself to be befriended by someone with a terribly bad reputation. Love is saying to a frightened man hiding in a tree, I'm coming to your house today. Love is allowing oneself to be hit and to be hit again for no reason at all. Love is being killed by people to whom one has done nothing but good. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? It means thousands of little things and some very big things, but for the Christian, always in the context of the presence of Jesus Christ. For to love God is to believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, and to love one's neighbor is to be a Christ, Luther says to one's neighbor. God's love for us is never an abstraction. It is specific in the flesh of Jesus Christ. And this means that for us, for the Christian community, for the community that names the name of Jesus, the question about love is always ultimately the question, what do you think of the Christ? Hymn 397, first tune.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.